If Randy won't do it, and unfortunately, I don't have any Alexa Bliss stuff, but will Nikki Bella do? How awful. How awful was that ending of Raw? My God. Going to pay some tribute tonight to Brody Lee, talk about Monday Night Raw and a few other things. Now, obviously, if you notice, I am here by myself tonight. This is the God honest truth. You know, I'm always straight up with everybody out there. About 5 minutes before Raw started, I got a DM from Mish. Mish, you know, the holidays, it's not the sunniest time of the year right now with everything going on. And there's been a couple of deaths this year that have been really, really just wear on people. And the Brody Lee passing was very, very hard. Yours truly, look, I mean, how many times have I professed my appreciation and fandomhood for Brody Lee? For Mish, didn't want to talk about it tonight. Very, very down. Just everything that's going on. He says, look, can I take tonight off? It's too much to just absorb. And I said, absolutely, my friend. So out of respect to Mish, he has the night off. I am up here for you. I'm wearing the shirt again. I did the Ask DT earlier. For those that want to go check it out, that's earlier today. Recorded it this afternoon. But I am up here for Breakfast Soup Raw, the Don Tony Show. You know, I don't have a Breakfast Soup Raw template with just one video screen, so I use this one. I'm sorry for those that checked out today's edition of SDT that I might repeat a couple of sentences of what I said earlier about Brody Lee. But I want to definitely talk about it tonight. And trust me when I tell you, I put together a little bit of a tribute. Now, unfortunately, I can't do video because of copyright flags. It's a shame when moments like this, you want to put a nice little tribute together. Even if it's generic music, I mean, I could do like just still shots, but you want to do a little video tribute? No. By the way, I know this is going to upset some of you out there, and I swear to you, I'm not defending them whatsoever, but I was not surprised that WWE today did not do a video tribute to Brody Lee. And I'm not defending WWE in any way, shape, or form, but I want to just make a point. All right. We are still in the middle of COVID, and they are working out of Florida. Right? They do not have full staff going on right now. And Brody Lee, at 41 years old, was probably one of the last people that we thought would ever succumb at such a young age. And I've explained in the past that WWE has a lot of tributes, 95% done for older wrestlers out there. This way, if somebody does pass, if you watch regular news and someone passes on, you know, you ever notice like 10 minutes later, they got this full-blown 3-minute beautiful video tribute with all these montages. They don't have 50 gremlins just hanging around and saying, hey, everybody, you know, every one of you put 30 seconds together and they put it all together. It's not how it works. A lot of this stuff is in the tank already. And they did not have anything prepared for Brody Lee. Again, I'm not defending WWE whatsoever, but I think that's the reason why we did not get some type of video package today. Some wrestlers pay tributes with his phrase, it's Monday, you know what that means. Yeah. I know the microphone's in the way, but yeah. Another line. I think at minimum they should have done a little 10-bell salute. Just my opinion. Video package or not, I think they should have done a 10-bell salute. Yeah, Slave and a few other of you out there, yeah, they have a lot of these tributes already done. You know, they'll add a couple little things last minute, but, you know, for anybody out there that is really ripping on WWE today for not doing a video tribute, you may be upset at the way WWE misused Brody Lee, Luke Harper, towards the end of his career, which I wholeheartedly agree with you. But, you know, you got to understand as well what's going on. I don't think it was deliberate. You know, I was thinking back, you know, and we haven't had, think about this, we haven't had many wrestlers pass away in recent years that were working for a competitor at the time. The one that stuck out to me the most, Ravishing Rick Rude. Ravishing Rick Rude, the way he left WWF and showed up on WCW. What difference to a day makes? Remember that? And a lot of people still don't realize that he showed up on three promotions that week. Yes, Raw and Nitro, same time, but he was also on ECW that week. But even when Ravishing Rick Rude passed away, WWF on Raw did a really nice tribute to Ravishing Rick Rude, about 5 or 6 minutes long. So I think we should, you know, give them a little bit of a break this time around. Now, if they don't do something by Friday or don't do something by Monday, then, you know, I kind of would be a little bit pissed off about it. I will say this also. I think the commentators should have said something. Not this subliminal with Tom Phillips with, hey, it's Monday. You know what that means. Just pardon my French. I didn't want to curse tonight. Pardon my French. Just fucking come out and say it. Come out and say it. You know, it's not just somebody passing away in the world of pro wrestling. It's someone who died at 41 years old. Someone who does not have a history of abuse. Someone who, and like I said on the show earlier today, you know, I text people that I know that try to get some information without invading anybody's privacy. And a couple of things were told to me. I don't know if it's 100% factual. I wait for the proper people if they want to put it out there and if they don't. But the only thing I will say to all of you out there that I've said many times before, and if Brody Lee's passing really, really shook you, there's two things you really should take from this today. Number one, tomorrow is never guaranteed. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Tomorrow is never guaranteed. Don't take things for granted. You know, especially family, friends, loved ones. You know, because I've said this so many times before. I admit it, I'm a mama's boy. I'm going to see my parents tomorrow. I spent the weekend with them because the way their health is, this may be the last Christmas I ever have with them. I am not going to be one of those that if their time comes, hopefully it's not for decades, but if their time comes, I don't want to be one of those that says, if I only spent more time with them, if I could have said goodbye one more time, if I only called them and told them I loved them a little bit more. Don't take things for granted. I know that sounds, you know, cliche, but it's true. It's true. Look at what happened to this man. You know, they kept it under wraps, which is totally understandable. I saw some of those articles, some of those people demanding answers that they just that, ignore them. Ignore them. They're not even deserving of your attention. But the second thing I will tell you, and as I say it, and I will definitely shout out some of you who sent in some chats. I will definitely mention it, but I wanted to put this, I made a little, I'm sure you saw it, like a little bit of almost like a mosaic. Those are all pictures of Brody Lee. And, you know, it's a little program. It's not that easy to put together, but I did that over the weekend. But, you know, I just wanted to post, you know, a little bit of a tribute, you know, to just some pictures of Brody Lee. But one thing I wanted to say to you also, and it doesn't have to necessarily be you. It could be a parent. It could be a friend, a neighbor, a relative, a loved one, yourself. If you And you know what? I want to pause this here because I want to read what Bray Wyatt said. And I know this brought a lot of people to tears. Bray Wyatt said, and I quote, "You are my best friend, my brother, my partner, my Terry Gordy. We changed this whole game because we refused to do it in any way but our way. We were always at our best when we were the team, and I think we both knew it. We fought like brothers because we were. I'm so goddamn pissed. This isn't how it's supposed to be. It was supposed to be us fat, bald, and useless running Wyatt family spots in high school gyms in our 70s. Where do we go now? What do I do knowing I'll never hear your condescending sarcasm as I'm riding high? I miss you so fucking much already. I would do anything just to live through our worst moments again. I can't believe you're gone. I'm so sorry, brother. I'm so sorry. You'll always be a part of me, whether I like it or not. Without you, everything is different. And I hope Amanda, his wife, truly knows that I am here not just to say it, but because I love them too. I will make sure your son knows the incredible man you were. Not the legends people will tell, but the real you that very few people got to see. I promise I'll put him over clean in dark matches when he's old enough, like I promised. I'm hurting so bad. I wish I had the chance to say goodbye, but then again, it's Saturday, and you know what that means. Save me a seat next to you wherever you are. That's where I belong. I'll be there when it's my time. Goodbye forever, Brody. I love you, Wyndham." And this is what I was going to say before everybody. And I hope you enjoy the photos that I put together. You know, I searched the net to try to find some really, really good ones. And, you know, and you know what the one thing is? You see how beloved and how, you see all the stories going around, how friendly he is, how well-liked. But before I get into that aspect of it, and props to AEW and a few others out there, you know, by the way, you see that on the left? That's Sinbad. Apparently, there's a story going around that Brody Lee requested a cameo video from Sinbad, which I thought was so freaking cool, man. So freaking cool. Now, obviously, not all stories are true, but that's cool if that story is true. But what I wanted to say to all of you out there is, if something doesn't feel right for an extended period of time, just something, it could be the smallest little thing, it could be a simple little cough, get it checked out. Do not sit and say, "Oh, I'll get through it and this and that." Now, you know, it's not COVID related. His wife has already said that. Some people are trying to spin it and say, "Well, he could have had COVID before and this and that." They don't know what they're talking about. All I'm going to say to you out there is, if something doesn't feel right to you or to your family, a loved one, go to the doctor, get it checked out. It could save your life. And just think, it was only a couple of months ago that this man was on Dynamite with the TNT Championship, as you could see right now. And a couple of months later, he's gone. He's gone. 41 years old. I mean, the guy never abused. Never, you know, did anything, you know, that he wasn't supposed to. This is a man, and the only thing that's been made public is he had complications, issues with his lung. I'm not going any further than that. But the one thing I will say is, get yourself checked out. I had a friend of mine many, many years ago, and I remember he smoked for a long period of time. I quit smoking in 2002. But this is his son, by the way. He had two sons, Brody and Nolan. That's his wife, Amanda. And she posted a beautiful tribute as well. And I want to read this. She said this too. She says, "I never wanted to write out these words. My heart is broken. The world saw him as this amazing Brody Lee, formerly known as Luke Harper. But he was my best friend, my husband, and the greatest father you would ever meet. No words can express the love I feel or how broken I am right now. He passed surrounded by loved ones after a hard-fought battle with a non-COVID-related lung issue. The Mayo Clinic is literally the best team of doctors and nurses in the world who surrounded me with constant love. On top of that, I can't express my love and admiration for the way All Elite Wrestling is treated, not only my husband, but myself and my kids. And she mentions a few people. She thanks the team at AEW who helped her keep standing and pick up all the broken pieces. She's surrounded by so much love and incredible people. She can't tag them all, but they know who they are. And she doesn't think they'll ever know how thankful she is for that. So, believe me when I tell you, you know, I'm not dare compare, you know, health issues that I've had in the past. But it's no secret to a lot of you out there that about 2+ years ago, I had a cancer scare. Ooh, shit. Sorry about that, everybody. Things are going in a little disarray. Oh, yeah, we could close that audio. All right, that's better. About 2+ years ago, I had a cancer scare, and I posted my test results on Patreon because I got this weird thing about myself because of so much BS online that, you know, if I say something, I almost feel like I'm obligated to prove it every time. And when they use word like metastatic and things like that, it knocks you for a loop. And thank God I don't have cancer. But I did have diverticulitis, and I had a few other things. And it has changed the way I behave, the way I act, the way I use my time. And I look at things so much more special. But I'll never forget, I had a friend of mine many, many years ago. Simple cough. We would play cards. We would play Uno. We would play Pekino. We would play different Romino. And just all the time. And he had quit smoking by then. Sure enough, he went and had some type of a CAT scan done, and they found spots on his lungs. He died of lung cancer. So if something does not feel right to you, or if you got, like my father, you know, somebody who's thick-headed, that, it's nothing, it's cold, I'll be better. Then you find out it's something worse. Get it checked out, because it could save your life. It could save the life of someone else. So, you know, 41 years old, way too soon to go. I mentioned this on the show earlier today. You know, my earliest memory of Brody Lee as a fan was around 2008 or 2009. People remember I was horrible at it, but I did a little bit of indie managering work. I did it for VPW, did a little bit for Frank Goodman, USA Pro, UXW. But Fat Frank, if any of you remember Fat Frank from Jersey All Pro Wrestling, he had Jersey All Pro, and he also had like a school that he did. I think it was JCW. I could have the letters wrong, but he used to run out of a little school with like 50 seats. If you remember that funny video that I played when I was sitting in an empty building with chairs, and by the way, the guy, if you go on my Twitter and you see that picture with me, Tito Santana, and a masked wrestler, that is Casey Blade of the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. And we were sitting there having a laugh. But at the time, he was letting me manage on those shows. And, you know, like my fantasy was that I get good enough that maybe I work a Jersey All Pro Wrestling show. And I never did, but I went to a lot of them. And my fondest memory, seeing Homicide battle Teddy Hart, brawling up and down the stairs, right on our laps. But I also got to see a man that I haven't talked to in a few years, but is a good friend, and I had the privilege of managing him for a little while. I saw Grim Reaper take on Brody Lee at Jersey All Pro Wrestling. Now, I, for some reason, I'm thinking it was a tag team match because Necro Butcher keeps coming to mind with Brody Lee, but that was my earliest memory of seeing him in person, and I was a fan. And the one thing, and I'm not saying this because he passed on, but the one thing that I remember, even hanging out with all of these guys after the shows, no, I never hung out with him. I never met him. I'm not going to be one of those that's going to say that now. But all the genuine love that you see from people in wrestling talking about it, that is 1,000% authentic. That is not to make his wife feel better. That is not to make his kids feel better. The man truly, you saw all those photos every time he was around someone. And somebody asked me on the Q&A earlier, What's my favorite Luke Harper, Brody Lee moment of all time? And I could come up with Wyatt family stuff. My God, Wyatt family, one of my favorite factions, you know, in the last 10, 20 years. I have so many autographed Luke Harper cards inside and ring-worn cards and stuff like that. And I'm thinking maybe start giving them away on here, let you all enjoy it. I'll keep one for myself. But I could easily come up with a Wyatt family match. I could come up with something he did in NXT. I could go back to his days doing stuff in Ring of Honor, Jersey All-Pro, Chikara, you know. But my favorite... I know this may be kind of corny, but it's true because I remember how much it made me smile. They were doing the Bludgeon Brothers stuff, and I never liked the Bludgeon Brothers stuff. And you might remember many times I said on the shows, I can't understand why they haven't given these guys the tag belts more. This was before they even did the Bludgeon Brothers stuff. But they were in Saudi Arabia. I think it was Halloween. And they were doing, I think, a battle royal, and the final four participants, and I have no notes in front of you, I'm just telling it to you straight from here and from memory. The final four participants, I believe, was Humberto Carrillo, Cedric Alexander, Luke Harper, and Eric Rowan. And those four were battling in the ring, and the Saudi Arabia fans started chanting loud, "Let's go, Harper! Let's go, Harper!" And when you just look at the overall scope, that man never really had the opportunity to really break out the way he should have. That was such an awesome feeling, man. That was so awesome. And that's my favorite Brody Lee memory, believe it or not. Might be for some of you out there as well. Yeah, Randy Orton's tribute was very, very powerful. There's a lot of tributes online. It was very unfair for me to only single out two. Eric Rowan, Eric Redbeard's tribute really, you know, hit. And I feel like shit. I didn't buy this shirt so I could get, you know, like a thank you from him. I did it because I was a fan, big fan. And as much as I feel like shit, and a lot of you out there feel like crap right now, can you just imagine what his family and friends are going through right now? So, you know, 41 years old, man, Big E's tribute was beautiful. Just taken way too soon, man. And again, this is an awesome family man. This is a guy that didn't abuse, didn't take drugs, didn't, take recreational, didn't abuse alcohol, was clean, family man. And a giant of a man goes to the doctor, and a couple of months later, it's over. Last week, there was a report that went around AEW. I didn't think much of it. Now, you know, granted, it was the holiday, so you're pretty much covering the overall show. Didn't think much of anything else, but something floated around last week where Brody Lee's son, who might be like 8 years old, and his name is Brody as well, I believe. One is Brody and one is Nolan. But his son pinned Kenny Omega to become the AEW heavyweight champion. Now, we have heard that even last year, Cody would lay it down in the ring. You remember Connor, you know, Connor's Cure. I mean, there's been some beautiful moments like that where, you know, they'll lay down for a kid in the ring. And when you read about that last week, you know, it came off as, all right, you know, his kids were there, his wife was there, no word that he was there. And you're thinking, okay, you know, he's still healing up from an injury in Rochester. But do you remember, and I know a lot of you will, go back and check out my episode if you want a refresher. Remember when Tony Khan did that media call, the media interview? Brody Lee was brought up very recently, and like he really dodged the topic. if you remember, I said, you know, it sounded odd. And I know a lot of you out there also found it odd the way he answered it. We, in our wildest dreams, would have never, ever, ever thought that it was something like this. So it's really, really an awful, awful way to close out 2020. It's just been a horrible year. But, you know, the one thing about this man is, you know, we have the privilege of pretty much going back and watching all of his work. There's a lot of stuff that he did before AEW and WWE that you'll now probably go seek out and enjoy a little bit. Get to see some of his older work. People are posting little video clips of their personal home videos with him featured. And enjoy it. Enjoy it. Remember him for in a positive way, like everybody else. And you know what? How he lived his life. And again, don't take life for granted, man. Don't. By the way, for those that are interested, I already ordered one. EC3 came out with this tribute shirt. I think his website is freeec3.com. He has this tribute shirt on sale. Not the profits, but all the proceeds are going to Brody Lee's family. So in case you want to pick it up. I heard CM Punk. Now, we're at the end of December, so I don't know if he meant just a week or if he meant throughout January. But I know CM Punk, any money that is raised on his T-shirt sales are going to Brody Lee's family. So if you've been wanting to pick up a CM Punk shirt for a while, here's a good opportunity to do it, and you'll also be doing a little bit of charitable cause as well. I expect other tribute shirts to come out, but man, this horrible, horrible. Definitely want to shout out a few of you, and I want to give you an update regarding this Wednesday's episode of Dynamite, because the show has changed. So, but before I do that, I want to give a shout out to 90s guy. Yeah, we'll talk about Raw in a few minutes, and absolutely rest in peace, Brody Lee. Absolutely. Joe Punches, he's tremendously, massively impressed by the love of Brody throughout the wrestling world. I'm telling you, man, I could have put another 50 pictures up there. There's so many beautiful, fun, you know, and the one thing that you keep over and over again is it smiles, it's laughing. And this goes back from his indie wrestling days, nothing but positive. Have you ever, ever heard anybody talking smack about Brody Lee? Yeah, you got people on social media that would take shots. Oh, look at what he go to AEW for? Look at what is he doing now? You know, that's more of a wrestling fan talking, and it's not really a personal thing. Some people turn it into a person. That's why I say, you know, when everybody was so hard on Miro, and I said, look at the guy. The guy looks like he's laughing, having fun. It feels like, and I don't know it for sure, but it feels like he's taking a year off mentally and physically, and falling in love with wrestling again. You know, we have no right to tell anybody else where they should work, how they should work, but if it pays the bills and it supports the family and you enjoy doing it, that's what matters. Could be anything. You could do anything in this world. None of us should ever judge what someone does for a living. If they enjoy it and that's what they want to do, absolutely, man. Might not be for us. I may, might not, but who are we to say that? Yeah, Bruce Mitchell. You know, I really didn't want to bring this up, but I know a few of you have been talking about it in the chat, and Crazy Cruiserweight brings it up as well. Bruce Mitchell from PW Torch. I've expressed before my dislike for the guy, But I have said ever since Bob Ryder died, and even before Bob Ryder died, few people that I know in wrestling that work, you know, for TNA, past and present, they're like, you know, he's not a bad guy. And, you know, when he passed, it really made me take a step back and say, you know what, as much as I enjoy a joke about Mike Johnson or Bruce Mitchell and others, any, you know, as much as you, you know, sometimes you got to just be the bigger person. Now, Bruce Mitchell, you know, is one of those that was kind of like pretty much saying that he feels that we should have known a little bit more, made more aware. You know, it is what it is. You know, Wade Keller, I think, took the column down from PW Torch. My only answer to it is this, and I say this with a little bit of respect intended. I saw on Bruce Mitchell's Twitter today, all over the place, where he's talking about how he stands by every word he said. Well, then repost a column on your Twitter. Post a column on your Twitter. Did anybody notice? And maybe he did. I didn't see it. I saw the article, but I didn't see it on his Twitter. He wrote like 1,000 times on his Twitter, he stands by every word he said. Well, then post it on Twitter. Torch doesn't own your Twitter account. Why aren't you posting your words on Twitter? I don't feel comfortable getting personal. I text a couple of my friends in wrestling. One person I haven't talked to in about 5 years. And I said, what happened? And, you know, people are trying to get the answers. A lot of friends were trying to get the answers. And a couple of things are floating around. But it's not my place to be the one to not only say it or request it. If anything gets revealed, that's on up to them. It's not for us to say or to assume. It's just not appropriate. Matthew Rychecki, shout out to you, my brother. Thank you very much for that, man. Thank you. He just wanted to get someone in the DT Army, one of those shirts that I pinned tonight. Okay, Matthew, you got it, man. Matthew, you DM me on Twitter or email me dontony@dontony.com. You don't have to say it tonight. Pick someone. Pick someone tonight that you want to have one of those Brody Lee shirts. I already got one. But pick someone in the chat tonight or someone in the comment section. Definitely send me a DM. And on Wednesday, I'll shout that person out. And if they claim it, I'll send them the shirt. And obviously from you. I'm just the middleman, you know. So, but that's very, very generous of you. Very generous. So much love, man. Much love. This rocked the wrestling world. And I know a lot of you out there weren't the biggest Brody Lee fans, his work in AEW. But now when you look back on it, you know what I mean? We don't know where it started, where he felt it. I know what some of you are going to say. Well, they would have never put the TNT championship on him if he was that ill. Of course, I agree with you. That's what makes it so hard to accept. You know, I don't know what's crueler. I don't know if it's more cruel to have someone you love fight a long, hard battle with cancer and they suffer. I think of my grandmother right away. Not my mom's mom, the one that got me into wrestling. She passed of a heart attack, but my father's side. They had cancer and it just, my grandmother, and I got to post a picture of my father's side. You see them, I mean, she was a big, not big woman as in fat, but she's one of those big women, Italian women, that she could beat the crap out of you. And she went from like 170-pound, 5'10", 5'9", powerful 80-some-odd-year-old woman to about 85 pounds of mush in about a year. I don't know what's more cruel, to have someone go through that pain for so long, or to have someone a couple of months ago, pretty much fine, and then like that, let alone 41 years old. So, Ken terminated by DQ. Did I mention Brody Jr.? Yes, winning the AEW world title. I don't think, I know, and I saw one or two of you in the chat asked this already, so I'm going to answer it before anyone else asks. No, I don't think we should see that footage. I think that should be for the family to cherish and love. If the family would want to share that, but I don't think that's for our eyes to see. But props to AEW for really, really, you know, putting aside not just storyline, but for those that don't know, and I want to bring this up now, I'll get back to some shout outs in a moment. This Wednesday on Dynamite is going to be a Brody Lee tribute show. And what I thought was really cool about this is Tony Khan put five matches together. I'm assuming we'll get another match or two added as well. But the matches might seem a little bit odd to some of you out there. But some of these people were close with Brody Lee. But the first match, what I really got a kick out of is these are Brody Lee's sons' favorites in AEW. So Tony Khan asked Brody Lee's son, who are your favorites? And he gave him six names, and Tony Khan put a match together featuring those six. On Wednesday, we're going to get Cody, Orange Cassidy, and Ten versus Team Taz. I believe it's Will Hobbs, Brian Cage, and Ricky Starks. You're going to have the Young Bucks teaming up with Colt Cabana. Almost feels like a nice Ring of Honor tag team if you think about it, taking on Matt Hardy and Private Party. You have Hangman Page, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds versus MJF, Santana, and Ortiz. Anna Jay and Ty Conti versus Dr. Britt Baker and Penelope Ford. And you have Lance Archer, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson versus Eddie Kingston, The Butcher, and The Blade. Those are five matches announced. This is a tribute show for Brody Lee. And here's one last thing I want to just add to this. You know, you got to understand, like I said at the beginning of the show about WWE with production. I'm not defending them. Commentators could have just said a little bit more about it, and they didn't. It should not matter at this point. Someone died. Shouldn't matter. You could have just said Luke Harper. The graphic was there. There should have been a little bit more said. But the thing is that, you see, AEW, they're doing a whole tribute show. They're putting all their storylines aside. You'll see some storylines advance Wednesday. That's not just, you know, there'll be some advancement. But they're putting aside a lot of matches that were very important for their shows coming up, and they postponed it a week. So AEW does not have loads and loads of Brody Lee footage other than what he did in AEW. So if they were to put together a package, it would feature just their content. WWE, you know, even if you don't like them, one thing you have to admit, whenever WWE does put a video package out for somebody, whoever it is, they usually really go balls out with it. You know, it almost feels like they either do it balls out or they don't do it at all. So I want to see what WWE does over the next week. Maybe SmackDown. But I will say that if they put it simply on the website, I think that's a little bit petty. Luke Harper was in one of the top factions in recent memory. And he died at 41 years old. And everybody on the roster absolutely beloved him. Xavier Woods had Brody taped, wrapped around his arm tonight, paying tribute to him. I think they should have done a little bit more. Just my opinion. Shout out to Brandon Jones. He was at his aunt's home with his family when he found out that Brody Lee died. Well, I don't want to say it was lung cancer. You know, like I said, you know, whatever is revealed, that's what we go with. But again, as I said before, you have something, you know, it doesn't feel right. You, whether it's yourself or someone you know, something just seems a little off. Try to do everything you possibly can to get yourself to the doctor or get a family member to the doctor. Look, my father, you all know that. My father just went through pneumonia. My father is 71. And he went through crazy-ass pneumonia. He was sick for about 6 weeks. We all thought he had COVID. And it scared the shit out of us. It scared the shit out of us. And he put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off. And then he finally went and got a COVID test done, and it came back negative. But you got to get tested again, because you may be tested negative one day and then positive another day. And then after a week, you know, they gave him Z-Pak. They gave him other stuff. After a week, he got tested again, still negative. And then they realized it was full-blown pneumonia. I saw him this week, and he's fine. But again, that man, if it wasn't for my mother, he probably would have said, eh, just give me chicken soup. I'll be fine. Anyway. Rain Entertainment, long live the king of the discus clothesline. Shit, yeah. They should name that a move after him. Seriously. I'm not going to come up with names of moves tonight. I will come up with a name similar to what Matt Riddle said earlier tonight with Jeff Hardy. By the way, is Jeff Hardy getting choked out with the full Nelson from Lashley, the Hurt Lock? Is this the new Lana Tables thing? I mean, I understand that Bobby Lashley, still in my mind, obviously, Brody Lee. I can understand Bobby Lashley is, you know, like the kryptonite for Jeff Hardy the last bunch of weeks. But I don't need to see 2, 3, 4 weeks in a row of Jeff Hardy ending up in the Hurt Lock and losing matches. All right. It's one thing to help elevate other talents. It's another to just have this shit over and over and over and over again. I mean, it's the same freaking formula 2, 3 weeks in a row. I think it's 3 weeks in a row. Jeff Hardy taps out to the Hurt Lock. Lashley won't break the hold, so Riddle comes to save the day. Jay Carlos, he's glad that he was able to go to AEW and shut mouths. He means Brody Lee. Yes, I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. I'm really looking forward to Wednesday's show. I don't care who's wrestling. I just want to see the tribute. I think us wrestling fans appreciated him enough, whether he was a Wyatt or whether he was an indie guy or whether he was an AEW Brody Lee, whatever he was, there's enough of us out there that there should be some type of video tribute, whether it's matches dedicated to him or it's a video package or something. We deserve that. And we want to celebrate that. We want to enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to seeing that Wednesday. Ken Terminated by DQ said, I mentioned my grandmother earlier. Was she smart to the business? No, she was not smart to the business. My grandmother died in 1991. She got me into wrestling. She was convinced wrestling was pretty much real. You have no idea. I mean, we would sit front row and go to places, and she was convinced it was real. She hated Roddy Piper more than life itself. And I've always told that story. The first wrestling figure I ever got was a Roddy Piper doll. The infamous one from the mid-80s where he's like this and he's wearing the white. And anybody ever had that doll? Like the paint would chip off and stuff like that. But what I would do is she would come over to visit us and she'll be sitting at the table. I miss her. It's 30 years already almost. And she'd be sitting at the table and I would take the doll and I would just like put it in the corner by the table where she couldn't see it. And she'll be talking to my mother, having coffee, you know, just eating cake and everything. And she would just be talking and get that fucking thing. And she would just fling it across the room. I used to torment my grandmother with the Roddy Piper doll. She was the number one Hulkamaniac. Number one Hulkamaniac. So, but anyway, I hope, you know, I did a little justice for Brody Lee tonight. You know, we speak as the Donzilla Army, paying a little tribute to this man. You know, definitely entertained the shit out of us for many, many years. And just really, really horrible, horrible. You know what? I don't even want to say what a horrible way to go out to 2020. Because this could have been February 11th. This could have been April 9th. This could have been July 16th. It would have been August 1st. It could have been January 9th. Any day during the year. This sucks. This sucks. And it shouldn't have happened. Whether we're wrestling fans or not, that's a family without their husband, their father, uncle, close friends. Someone like that should not be taken away from this earth so soon, so soon. So, Neil Ray, yes, rest in peace. Got to cherish your loved ones, man. I know it sounds kind of like PC or however you want to take it, but, you know, but it's true. It really is. It really is. So rest in peace, and I will definitely cover Wednesday's show. Now, remember, New Year's Eve, as of right now, it's on. I will be here New Year's Eve. It looks like that I will be here between 10 p.m. and at least 1 a.m. We will toast in a new year together because a lot of you already said you're going to be home doing nothing. So my fiance will be here, and I have convinced her to come in and have a little champagne toast. She's very camera shy, and I told her, make sure you dress nice. So she may not do it, but I will be here hanging out with all of you. And then we'll build on that for future Thursdays. That's one show that a lot of you have been asking for this channel. Have a show where it's not formatted. There's no, you know, set discussions, topics. It's just wherever the conversations go, they go. Whether it's wrestling, non-wrestling, real life, wherever it goes, just regular conversation. And I absolutely am looking forward to it. So, like I said, it's about 95% definite for New Year's Eve. I talked to Mish. Mish said that he would like to come on for a little while. So I have Shaheen, Nuclear Heat Graphics, excellent graphics designer, if you ever need somebody. He's making two templates for me. He's making one that's just one video box like this for New Year's Eve, and he's making one that has two. This way, if I want to bring Mish on or bring another podcaster on his video, all I got to do is literally just hit one button and it switches it over, and that's it. We will do it. So I will let everybody know for sure by Wednesday. But it looks like it's on for New Year's Eve. So, but anyway, let's talk about Raw tonight. Oh, you know what? Before we do that, I have to just mention this for a minute. And I know after doing, my God, we talked about Brody Lee for 45 minutes. Holy shit. It's okay. I don't think anybody's complaining. It kind of feels a little messed up, though, that we spend 48 minutes on Brody Lee and we're going to spend one on Danny Hodge. And to be honest with you, if this was the 70s, the 80s, maybe we spend a lot more time on Danny Hodge. But the fact of the matter is, about 98% of you out there have never seen Danny Hodge wrestle. Danny Hodge was a major player in boxing, amateur wrestling, and regular wrestling in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. I watched a match not too long ago on YouTube, Danny Hodge versus, I think, Jack Briscoe. So if you want to see what Bret Hart has always called him, the greatest, you know, as far as wrestling goes. First amateur wrestler to ever be on Sports Illustrated, and he is JR's hero as far as wrestling goes. Danny Hodge was legit, and he died last week at the age of 88. So he lived a nice, you know, just a wonderful life, man. 88 years old, man. I'll be happy living to 68. Give me 68 and I'll be good. You know, I won't say it'll be good when I'm 67, obviously. But Danny Hodge passed away at 88. One of the greatest wrestlers from that era. And if you want to learn about his NCAA career from the Olympics, being on Sports Illustrated, him going into boxing, retiring from boxing around 1959, and this is all from memory, but he retired from boxing around 1959. I think he was undefeated, and then he became a pro wrestler. And that's what our previous generation grew up watching. Danny Hodge, one of the most legit pro wrestlers, amateur wrestlers, boxers that ever lived. There is a trophy, I think, in amateur wrestling that's the Danny Hodge trophy, and they compare it to the Heisman in, I think, what is it, college football, the Heisman trophy? Or maybe it's the NFL. I think it's college football, but that's how legit this guy was. So again, you know, I'm sorry that we only spend a minute or two on Danny Hodge, but you know, the wonderful thing about the internet is you could go out there and you could learn a little bit more, seek out a few things. Maybe you find something that you would enjoy. FT Gaggiano, what's up, my brother? This man is tuning in live right now. I believe, what is it, 6 or 7 a.m. where you are? And he's 8,000 miles away from where I'm doing the show right now. Just think about that. I could fly to California and back. And back to California again, and that would be the same distance if I ever wanted to go to where he lived and have a drink. So he's on lockdown till January 15th. So that means FT Gaggiano will be joining me New Year's Eve as well. I hope you all can too. If you're home not doing nothing, stop by the channel, hang out, have a proverbial shot, and I will be cracking open a bottle of champagne on air. And, you know, we'll just chat. We'll just talk about whatever, man. I'm looking forward to it. Seriously. Bryant Becerra just ordered the Brody Lee shirt. Yeah, it's a nice-looking shirt. And at the same time, you know, I've explained this before. You got to pay close attention with charitable causes when it comes to shirts and stuff like that, because there's a big difference between proceeds and profits. My shirts that are on Pro Wrestling Tees, you know how much profit I get on each shirt? Usually $1, sometimes $2. So when someone says all the proceeds go to Brody Lee's family, if a shirt is $24.99, maybe the shipping doesn't go, but if the shirt is $24.99, $24.99 is going to his family. When they say the profits go to his family, if the profits is only $2, $3, that's what's going to his family. So when you hear like CM Punk saying all the proceeds of his shirt sales, every penny is going to his family. This shirt that I posted, all the proceeds are going, every penny is going to his family. So, you know, you always got to point that out. And look, I'm not going to throw shade at anybody that says just the profits because, you know, maybe for Pro Wrestling Tees, it's not that, you know, big of an expense to sell 100, 200 shirts and donate them all. But when you got someone out there that has a very small outlet, you know, they might not be able to afford, especially in the middle of COVID, to be laying out all this extra cash, you know, and putting all the proceeds, period. So, you know, just because someone says profits doesn't mean they're being cheap. You know, you got to look at the overall scope of everything. So yeah, Ken Terminator by DQ. Danny Hodge is the Vern or Kurt Angle of that era. I would say, you know what? He's a lot like Vern Gagne if you watch him wrestle, especially in the early 70s. But yeah, as far as amateur wrestler and celebrated, you know, yeah, that's not a bad comparison. In fact, I guarantee you, Jim Ross and some older wrestling lifers probably have fantasized a match between Kurt Angle and Danny Hodge. That honestly, he you see some of his work. You know, you could see that Danny Hodge rubbed off on Bret Hart a little bit. Absolutely. So, beautiful dropkick, by the way. Beautiful dropkick. So, let's talk about Raw. That's really all I have left for you tonight. I wanted to keep tonight simple. Pay tribute to Brody Lee, talk a little bit about Wednesday, talk about Raw. First off, right off the bat, next Monday is Legends Raw. I don't know if this is confirmed, but something I noticed today, I wonder if any of you noticed it as well. When they announced the Legends for this coming a week from today, this time around, they left Beth Phoenix's name off the list. So she hasn't been around, obviously, because of COVID. She's been doing commentary from her home. So maybe Beth Phoenix does not feel comfortable to travel, you know, with the current conditions. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her because there's a lot of legends coming in. And, you know, let's be honest. Legends, blue check marks, they live to a whole different standard of rules than we do. You heard that story coming out of California today that some high-scale Beverly Hills restaurant that has a lot of celebrities going there for dinner, they sent out invites to people seeing if they're interested in dining for New Year's Eve indoors, which is banned in California right now. And they said that if there's enough interest, they'll get back to everybody. And they said, don't tell anybody, but tell all your friends. And somebody told California. It got leaked out. And now they're like, no, this restaurant. That's what they do. They all live to their own rules. So, you know, I'm not saying that any of these legends are careless. But when you're around that many people, especially with what's still going on, you know, for one night, that might not be worth it. And I've said this before. You know, when we had not too long ago, when WWE showed some of the legends, remember when they had some people on TV not too long ago and you didn't see any appearance by Hogan and a few others for The Undertaker's retirement? You know, looking back on that, I know what you're going to say. I agree with you. Okay, in the case of Hogan, Undertaker didn't like Hogan or whatever. Okay, that's fine. I get that. But there were other names noticeably absent. And I'm wondering if some of them did not feel comfortable with COVID still being here, being around that many people. They don't normally are around it at this current day, right now. So we don't know what the deal is. Maybe Beth Phoenix shows after all. But if I'm correct, because I noticed it right away, because I went through the list and people we talked about last week, I said, somebody's missing from that list. And I played it back slowly and I said, okay, I didn't see Beth Phoenix on there. So who's on that list? Let me see. You know what? If I could pull up last week's list, let me see. Today's the 28th. That would have been the 21st. Okay. I made the list last week. This was on the list last week. Hulk Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter, Kurt Angle, Ric Flair, Torrey Wilson, The Big Show, Jacqueline, Booker T, Mickie James, Tatanka, Jeff Jarrett, Beth Phoenix, she was on there for last week, Jimmy Hart, The Boogeyman, IRS, Hillbilly Jim, Michael P.S. Hayes, Carlito, Alicia Fox, and Candice Michelle. I don't know if you all caught Mickie James. She did an interview last week, and she made it clear that remember when last week I said to Mish that I thought he would be upset about them putting Mickie James as a legend? Of course she's a legend. She's a Hall of Famer. But in WWE's eyes, when they put you in legend territory, that means they don't look at you as a full-time wrestler anymore. They don't even look at you as someone legitimately that could, you know, go on a run. I mean, how many times have you seen a legend? You know, we get a return from Edge that's a little different. But Edge is not advertised for this. You know, my point is, Mickie James said, look, you know, you could look at legend however you want, but she has made it clear. She still has a lot left in the tank, and she ain't ready to go out like that. She still, and I'm telling you, like Mission I said last week, do not be surprised if Mickie James ends up in AEW or another promotion, because she can still go. And what'll happen is, similar to Matt Hardy a little bit, she'll go to AEW or another promotion and she'll put on a kick-ass match, and then you'll have social media pretty much saying, WWE, what are you stupid? You know, you mean to tell me you can't use her? Look at what she's doing right now. Shayna Baszler versus Dana Brooke tonight. As I watched that match tonight, I was thinking back to Steve Austin's ECW promo in 1995. Remember that promo You know, give an 18-year-old German kid 7 good minutes. Let them see what he can do. Remember that promo? I mean, if you watch Shayna Baszler in that match, how she had to sell for some of that stuff. Again, I really have nothing against Dana Brooke. But to have that much suspension of disbelief that Shayna Baszler could be on the verge of getting beat and pinned by Dana Brooke, not by fluke or distraction, but, you know, it was a hard sell for me. I mean, in the end, Shayna Baszler choked her out with the Kira Fuda clutch and then choked out Mandy Rose. But, man, you watch that match, and as I'm seeing to myself, first of all, you know, they had Nia Jax take on Charlotte today. Why not just have Asuka take on Shayna Baszler? I mean, I understand you want to give other people opportunity, but having her with Dana Brooke was a hard sell for yours truly. I mean, Raw tonight had its ups and its downs. Ricochet and Ali had an excellent match. The ending was kind of cheesy, man. Anybody see that ending? And I'll get into match by match now, but if you saw the ending, you know what I'm talking about. For those that didn't see it, there was right towards the end of that match. And by the way, they were teasing that Ricochet may end up joining Retribution to try something new. Remember when I said he reluctantly may join Retribution? They did it again tonight. You know, what's your answer? What's your answer? He's been saying no for 18 months. And then today, what's your answer? They kind of teased it a little bit, but there was one part towards the end of that match. Go back and watch it. Retribution is all trying to attack Ricochet. It looked like one of the 70s samurai movies. You ever watch one of those cheesy samurai movies from the 70s where it's one guy against like 9,500 samurais? And the guy's got a sword, and he's like, and wherever he goes, like every goof, there's 9,000 samurais, and they all have swords too. But for some reason, every time they go up to the guy, they're getting sliced, they're getting diced, they're getting this. Blood is squirting 3 blocks away, and you see this one person just kills 9,000 people. That's what it looked like with Ricochet today. You have each person, like, he's doing little things, and they're just, like, falling and look like a bad sound. Seriously? No, Jackie Chan, it was different, because Jackie Chan just used his fists. Go watch a cheesy, just type in 1970 samurai movie on YouTube, and be prepared for some blood. I'm just saying. Because I remember on a Saturday afternoon, my grandmother used to come over and she used to put that on TV. And I used to be baffled, like, how is this on regular TV? You'd see, like, when somebody would get stabbed, blood would shoot, like, for a whole town. It's like 10 city blocks. It was so exaggerated that it was goofy. But that's what it looked like tonight. You have Dijakovic and Dio Madden, and each one by one, And Ricochet is like, what up, what the world, what up, and they're just like falling like dominoes. It looks so bad, man. I mean, Ali still got the win. But, man, that match was so hot. And I saw that, and I'm like, come on, man. That was so choreographed and cheesy. And it just, oh, man. Oh, man, Bruce Lee entered a dragon? You kidding me? He was my father's favorite. I used to love Bruce Lee. Remember him and Chuck Norris. Enter the Dragon is one of the greatest Bruce Lee movies of all time. When the scene with the mirrors, and he's got those scratches on. Oh man, that was awesome, man. When I was growing up, you know what me and my friends, and look, obviously I didn't expect anybody to bring up Bruce Lee. So obviously I can't be BSing or making this up. How many of you out there, when you were young, if you grew up and you were, at some point were fans of Bruce Lee, how many of you would go up to your friends and do this? Now, this isn't like a wrestler giving a shout out to his kids when he do that, but that's what Bruce Lee would do. Bruce Lee, man. Man, Bruce Lee was a badass. 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 Yeah, people saying facts. So, actually, I may have to do that when I open up the show sometimes. Instead of doing this, I'll just go. So you all know. That's my way of shouting you out. So, show opens up today with a graphic for Luke Harper. Not much else. Tom Phillips, you know, it's Monday. You know what that means. Drew McIntyre, little tribute to Luke Harper as well, saying some of his, when he said, yeah, that was obviously this. Drew McIntyre, we learn that Keith Lee and Sheamus are fighting tonight. The winner will be the new number one contender. I don't even call it a new number one contender because after next Monday, that number one contender will no longer be a number one contender. Whoever wins the match is going to face Drew McIntyre next week for the WWE Championship. So we open up with Drew McIntyre in the ring, interrupted by Sheamus. Fella, that's what we trained for. That's what we've always wanted to do. Fella, blah, 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 blah. And Keith Lee, gentlemen, I will win. The only thing I don't like about this storyline is Keith Lee, and this is how it comes across on TV. Keith Lee gives a shit more about Sheamus stabbing Drew McIntyre in the back, then becoming WWE champion. For the last couple of weeks, if you pay attention to it, I know your motives are to stab your friend in the back. It's not his fault. And so WWE booked it. You know, he's going to be the one that's going to split them two. Mish and I talked about that already. So, Keith Lee and Sheamus don't like each other. Drew McIntyre is kind of in the middle. So when Sheamus bro kicks Keith Lee, why Drew McIntyre would have his balls in a bunch so much? I mean, I don't think they have that great of a friendship, Drew and Keith Lee. You know, I could see when they were a tag team a couple of weeks ago, when he's like, he helped us win. Sheamus, he helped us win. Sheamus, what are you doing? What's the excuse today? So Drew McIntyre is like, nah, we don't want to wait till the main event. Because now we realize that Randy Orton and we realized at the beginning of Raw that Raw was going to end today with Randy Orton and maybe a Fiend or Alexa Bliss. Or we were going to end the night with Charlotte versus Nia Jax. And I chuckled and I said, oh man, if they close out with Charlotte versus Nia Jax, I can't wait to see some of social media. I mean, I do get a kick out of people that just whine and complain. You want some cheese with that wine? So Drew McIntyre is like, let's get a referee out here now. Have the match now. So we go to commercial break. They have the match. Keith Lee and Sheamus, they actually work well together. I've been singing the praise for Sheamus for a while. Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre, Mish and I have been talking about for 5 or 6 weeks now. That is happening. And we said it'll probably happen at the Royal Rumble. So something is going to happen next week. And this is going to lead to Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre. But for today, Keith Lee beats Sheamus. Decent 13-minute match. They worked their ass off. And, you know, ever since that nonsense about them going to the performance center, think about that. Ever since that nonsense, Keith Lee is undefeated. Otis is undefeated, I believe. Maybe he's 1-1. I think he's undefeated. Dio Madden's actually shown a little bit of presence outside the ring. Almost has a totally different presence upon himself right now. So why is anybody complaining? I mean, you go there, you know, to work out the kinks. You put it this way, and I've said this a couple of weeks ago, I'll say it again now. You should be more concerned when wrestlers are not getting over on TV or not doing the job you think they could do, and you learn that they're not doing anything else to work out the kinks. I'd be more pissed off if they weren't going into the Performance Center. So Keith Lee beats Sheamus. Drew McIntyre is on commentary, which was fine. I like Drew McIntyre. I have no problem with him. I know a lot of people think his championship reign has been a disaster. I totally disagree. I coined last year, well, it's not last year yet, but I coined early this year that Drew McIntyre will be your COVID champion. When we look back on it, during the COVID era, because that's what we're going to call it, Drew McIntyre was your champion during the COVID era. So basically, how the match ended, Sheamus hit the white noise, but only for a two count. Little bit of smacking to the face of Keith Lee. Keith Lee no-sells a headbutt, and then Keith Lee hits the spirit bomb. The finish was fun. I mean, it could have gone either way. But Keith Lee gets the win, and after the match is over, Keith Lee is staring at ringside by the timekeepers, the announcer's table, and he's having a stare down with Drew McIntyre, and Drew McIntyre looks like he's gotten a little more definition in the chest area. I don't know if you've noticed that. To me, it looks like he has. But so we get next week, Drew McIntyre, Mini Muga Man. There has never been any beef with Jason Solomonster or myself. That was a running joke. That was a running joke for a long time. I hung out with Jason 2 years ago at Lucky 13. And we had a good chuckle over it. No friction, none at all. So next week we're going to get Keith Lee versus Drew McIntyre for the championship. Legends Raw. Okay, fine. Elias in the back with Jackson Ryker. Somebody knocks on the door, and Elias is like, just ignore it. This is an ad. Later on, we get a second segment with somebody knocking on the door, and it's AJ Styles with Omos, and AJ Styles is complaining. And, you know, Elias, you could see that they were leading to a match with AJ Styles versus either Elias or Jackson Ryker. And I think it's a little too soon for Jackson Ryker to lose. So basically, you see AJ and Elias talking smack to each other. Elias is joking that AJ is still upset that he couldn't get the job done at TLC. AJ Styles says that, "What are you? You're not Johnny Cash, you're more like Johnny Trash." And this sets up a match between the two later on. I'll tell you the truth. I enjoyed Elias versus AJ Styles. I thought it was a fun match. I honestly don't remember if they've ever faced each other before. They probably have, but I like the match. I am really, really enjoying Omos's presence. It's something. I mean, I know he's more vocal now. He's a little more animated now. Again, whatever they tweaked with him at the Performance Center, it's working. I like Omos as a character. They did not say Brody Lee on TV tonight. They showed the tribute to Luke Harper. Xavier Woods had Brody on his armband. I don't know if anybody else did. But, you know, like I said, Friday's SmackDown will be, you know, tell the tale. Because that would have given WWE enough days to put something together. If you could ask me my gut feeling is they're not. My gut feeling is they'll show the graphic, they'll put something on WWE.com, and that's it. That's just my gut feeling. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Yes, I agree, Alpha. Charlotte looked great tonight. Charlotte, I'm one of those people that have always supported Charlotte. I know a lot of you are upset with how she's used. She's back on TV. She's got a belt right away. I get it. For you young fans out there, be thankful. Be thankful you weren't a fan around the 2000 year. Or if you want to go a little bit later, 2002, 2003. Because if you think what they're doing with Charlotte is bad, you have no idea what we went through with the Triple H show. That's what I used to call it back then. Triple H used to open the show, have five segments, and was the focal point of everything. That infamous photo I brought up before of a cemetery, and you see all the these wrestlers' names on the tombstones. That photo came out 20 years ago almost, like 17, 18 years ago. I remember that photo from 17 years ago. That's how powerful it was. And I know some of you out there have seen it. If you do a Google image search, you'll find it. It was a graveyard. And what it was tombstones of all the wrestlers at the time that it felt like Triple H totally destroyed their careers. I know looking back on it, you probably are like, I don't see that. At the time, when you're living through it, it felt like Mick Foley, that was it. Other wrestlers, that was it. Ric Flair walking 10 steps behind Triple H. Yuck. So, Grand Metalik. I like Miz and Morrison. I say that almost every show. But even I will say I don't like how WWE is overusing them. And it doesn't make any goddamn sense for what happened towards the end of Raw tonight with Miz and Morrison. Now, for those that didn't see Raw, the storyline is that Miz is in a rut because he lost his briefcase. And he takes on Grand Metalik, and Grand Metalik beats The Miz in an upset. And The Miz, they're zooming in on his face and his beautiful blue eyes, and he's like devastated in the ring that he lost, and the commentators are making it like, you know, oh my God, he just lost. And they're playing off like Miz's career, his current WWE status is all in being derailed because he lost his briefcase. Oh boy. Wait till I tell you later on. I can't believe they have not done more with Morrison, with some of the wrestlers that they have on that roster. I remember early on they did a little bit with him. It might have been Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles or something, and I'm like, oh man, this is what I wanted to see. We got a tiny little taste of it, and they're like, that's enough. That's enough. Didn't Sting recently say on the AEW Unrestricted or that podcast that Vince McMahon never wanted to do the cinematic match with him and The Undertaker, that he never bought into it, that he never saw that being his money? You know, you could see some people coming back to WWE, and Vince, it's like, you ever buy video games over the years? Like, you can't wait to have it. You can't wait to have it. You got to have it. You can't wait to have it. You got to have it. You got to have it. You got to have it. You get it. You play it for a couple of days, and then the next thing you know, it collects dust for years. You get it. You just like that. It's worn out. You just can't play no more. That's what Vince does to some people that he brings back. I mean, I still, after all that time that Mickey James was out with an injury, I mean, my memory of Mickey James in 2020 is her looking at the referee like, unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Let's see. I'm looking at the chat, see what's going on, see what you all are talking about. So, AJ Styles versus Elias is announced for later on. Shayna Baszler, as I said earlier, beat Dana Brooke in about 4 minutes. You had Mandy Rose in the corner of Dana Brooke. I don't recall Nia Jax being in her corner. In fact, she wasn't. Shayna Baszler hits a Kira Fuda clutch on Dana. She taps out like that, and then she puts it on Mandy. I'm sorry, Mandy. And she's like, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. If I could change something with submission moves, this is a little pet peeve of mine. Go back and watch Shayna Baszler hitting the Kira Fuda clutch, locking it in on Mandy Rose. Now, Mandy Rose wasn't in the match, so I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it when someone attacks someone and puts them in a submission move and they do this. Like they're petting a dog. Good boy. Good boy. Good boy. Like, I'd be like, grabbing, like trying to, like, or, you know, like, you look at Mandy Rose like a goof. She's getting choked out. You're not in the match. Doing this doesn't ring a bell. What are you doing? What are you doing? Goodbye. Goodbye. I hate that in wrestling. You choke someone out. Do us a little suspension of disbelief. You know, grab Shayna Baszler's hair, you know, and let her try to break it. You know? Or you do one of these things. You know, you grab somebody's nose, pull it back. You see how quick they let it go. I hate that. I hate that. But Shayna Baszler doing it was good enough for me. So she beats Dana Brooke. Good, get out of here. Alexis Playground. This is not Attitude coming back. This is not USA Network wanting more darkness. Trust me. That's not what it is. I know some people out there think pouring gasoline over yourself is probably like a whole wacky thing to do. But we've had gasoline and fire in the past with wrestling. It's a stupid storyline. I expect goofs out there with their parents. You know, my kid watching Alexa Bliss dumping. It's not that. The storyline is goofy. Alexa's Playground tonight, I thought, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. Last week, with the humor, it felt like, okay, in the storyline, Alexa Bliss is in denial that the Fiend is gone. But they tried to do it again today, and she's calling out Randy Orton, and this is where I thought it was stupid. If you ever watch a Randy Orton entrance, I hear voices in my head, blah, 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 they put me to bed. And then you hear, you know, that guitar. And then after it does like the guitar solo for about 5 seconds, then Randy Orton comes out. Why Alexa Bliss tells Randy Orton, come on down. Randy Orton's song is on for 3 seconds and she's got this puss on his face like he ain't coming down. Yeah, I know the storyline has got to be done a little bit quicker, but if you ever watch a Randy Orton intro, he never comes out that quick. You don't hear, I hear voices, and he comes out to the ring. It was stupid, man. And she's trying to get him to come out there, and he doesn't come out there. Little bit of mind games, and Alexa Bliss, you know, he's got a puss on her face. The next thing you know, Randy Orton is in the Firefly Funhouse. Now, these websites saying that Randy Orton destroyed the Firefly Funhouse. No, Seth Rollins destroyed the Firefly Funhouse. Randy Orton, all he did was pull heads off of puppets. He threw, by the way, you see the, did you know WWE came through, right? They sent me another lantern, and they sent me 5 new ornaments and didn't charge me for it. And they gave me a refund. So they gave me a lantern and 5 ornaments for free. So I put them on display over there. But Randy Orton takes Mercy the Buzzard, throws him out the window, knocks down Sister Abigail, and he rips the head off of the rabbit and he throws Huskus the pig. That's not destroying the set. That's not destroying the set. So happy holidays to you, Lamar. Hope all is well. By the way, to all of you out there, you know, I hope your Christmas, you celebrated, or Kwanzaa, whatever holiday you celebrate, I hope you all enjoyed it. Much love to all of you in 2021. 2021 has got to be a better year for all of us. Seriously, it's got to be a better year. I'm hoping for a better year. And it's been challenging. I mean, it at some point in the year, it's brought us all down. Some financially, some emotionally, some both. So trust me, I'm really looking forward to taking out champagne. And yes, I'm on keto, but I will have a glass of champagne with all of you on Thursday. So I will definitely be here. Well, it's 95% definite. I mean, barring some outrageous circumstance, I don't see any reason why I won't be here Thursday night with all of you. So, Doug McKay, everything we know right now sucks. Finally getting to see Stacy since September. Now another lockdown. Oh, he's talking about his Stacy, not Stacy Keibler. By the way, Stacy Keibler is not part of this Legends thing. I mean, you don't think for once you want to see her just like walk through the rope like she used to. But yeah, you're going through another lockdown. Man, stay strong, man. Seriously. You know, we've all gone through the worst of the worst. It's getting better. It's got to get better. You know, I don't want to get into talk tonight. We'll talk Thursday about lockdowns and everything. But I'll say this. You know, I find it fascinating at some countries who did very little on the lockdown, and they have some of the lowest cases around. I personally think that when you're forced to stay home, you know, and you invite a whole bunch of people over, you know, very rare you hear cops being called to people's houses unless they have like 20, 30, 40 guests there. But trust me, if I was younger and I was locked up at my house, I couldn't go to a club, couldn't go to a restaurant, couldn't go to a coffee shop, couldn't hang out with my friends playing pool or something, I would have had my friends over already over and over and over again, whether it's playing video games, hanging out in the house, watching this, doing that. And I tell you, I think it's a bigger risk of getting sick here because we're all in the same house. We're not going to hang out with all the windows open. The only time anyone ever did that is if somebody was smoking weed, you know? So I think it's more dangerous to be home because that's when you invite a whole bunch of people over. You know, it's almost like what I said before. If you know you could do certain things and it doesn't feel like it's being taken away from you, then you don't do them. Like if restaurants were allowed to have you in there, you know, all right, I can go, but you know, I don't feel comfortable, but I can go whenever I want. But when they're going to take it away, you almost feel like you got to go because they're taking something away from you. That's why when I was a kid with my grandmother, you know, I go over the house and there'd be a cookie jar sitting on my table every day, and I pay no attention to it. But the moment my mother says to me, hey, Anthony, don't have any cookies till after dinner. Now I got to have a cookie. You brought it up. That's it. Are you stupid? Now I'm going to have a cookie. Shouldn't have said nothing. So we'll talk about that Thursday. So getting back to Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss. Randy Orton's in the funhouse playing psychological games. Now they're planting the seed. The Fiend is not dead. The Fiend is not coming back as this different being in this and that. Because they want you to forget the whole burned alive. It's the Rey Mysterio eyeball popping all over again. They hyped it up. And then he's got, you know, the eye in his hand. And then a day later, it detached, but we can attach it. Oh, we got it back in the eye. And now he's just got to wear a patch. Before you know it, you're going to forget about Bray Wyatt being burned alive at all. But Alexa Bliss challenges Randy Orton to something later on. We don't know what it is, but she's challenging him to something. So now you realize it's probably going to close out Raw. I didn't like the segment at all. I didn't like it at all. Randy Orton comes off as a goof. Not his fault, but he comes off as a goof. And Alexa Bliss comes off as a bigger goof because he rips the head off of a puppet. And Alexa Bliss is like, no, Randy, stop. Didn't Alexa Bliss just kill a fucking bullfrog with cyanide or something like that? Alexa Bliss thought it was funny killing all the animals. Didn't they kill Ramblin' Rabbit? What, didn't she like laugh? Wasn't she almost having an orgasm? She's killing puppets. Randy Orton does it. No, Randy, no. What are you doing? Stop. It's a fucking puppet. It was goofy. Goofy, I tell you. AJ Styles beating Elias, 14-minute match. I liked it. I mean, Elias, you could see now, it's not about wins and losses with him. I don't know what Elias's role is right now. I'll tell you this much. I truly think Elias is only getting back to 100% now. Because you go 14 minutes with AJ Styles, you know, you should be pretty close to being back. But Elias has got to get on some momentum over here. Playing the music, just so Jackson Ryker could soak it in and, you know, that's not enough. And you could see that, like, okay, was AJ Styles the babyface in this match? It sure felt that way. is AJ Styles and Omos kind of being cool now? It sure feels that way. So I don't know. I don't know. I like the match, but it's a little different. It's a little different. Mustafa Ali beating Ricochet. Again, fabulous match. These two go so nice. They work so well together in that ring. And tonight, they put on a phenomenal match until the end, like I said. Go look at that last part. Just focus on the Retribution members, one by one, looking like the horrible 70s Sam. It was just so bad. But I liked the end when Ricochet, you know, went for his finisher, tried to do the frog splash off the top rope, and then Ali sticks out his knees, and then Ali basically hits him with his finisher and, you know, ends up winning the match. What does he call it? The Koji Clutch for the submission win? The Koji Clutch. And after the match is over, I mean, I know they're trying to use, like, the Raw Talk shows as a try to incorporate some storylines because they showed footage of Ricochet maybe considering Retribution now. Remember I said the storyline would be that he reluctantly would be a part of Retribution? This storyline either has to be over now or he's got to join. Because after everything, for Ali to say, what's your decision? And Ricochet says, he's basically like, I will. And Ali thinks that he's joined, and he's like, not join Retribution. You know, maybe if there was a live crowd there, they would have popped when he said not. But, you know, when you got that soccer generic noise in the background, it's very, like, you know, unimpressive. Like, it didn't affect me, and I was like, yeah, you go, Ricochet, say no to Retribution. And I was indifferent to it. And it makes Ali, he's like Nikki Cross with Alexa Bliss. No, Nikki Cross, I mean, without Alexa Bliss, she's nothing. You know, this is like Nikki Cross not accepting the fact that Alexa Bliss don't want her as a friend. I have to finish that sentence. It feels the same thing. So now, yes, I like Ali's ring gear. I'm telling you, I know this sounds ridiculous. I still agree, WWE has done a pathetic job with Retribution. But I can accept Ali in his role now. Not because of his nationality or anything like that. Before, like I said, it looked like, you know, a fan who was an indie, happened to be an indie wrestler, that got to take pictures in the ring. Remember TNA during intermission? You could go in the ring and take a picture with Jeff Jarrett and AJ Styles and Jeremy Borash. And blah, 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 blah. That's what it looked like. When they first posed in the ring, it looked like that, oh, they're letting fans take pictures with Retribution. Oh, here is Ali, who happens to be an indie wrestler. And that's what it looked like. It looked like a fan. Lexi. Yeah, Nikki Cross, they ruined her career, man. Her current career in WWE. I mean, there's got to be a twist somewhere soon enough. But we'll get to that when we find out where Nikki Cross fits in all of this. Lex, I got my family in Scotland. I can't lose. I got my family in Scotland. I can't lose. Lexi. When she broke her coffee cup, I popped in. I'm like, good, man. You got to pick up, when you break the coffee cup, you got to pick up that just the handle and just look like showing the screen that all you have is the handle and the cup is shattered. That's nice visual, man. Seriously. You know what? I know it sounds cold, but if there's ever like a big event autograph signing and Nikki Cross happens to be there, I'm going to have her sign a mug and then I'm going to break it. Seriously. I'm going to say, Nikki, could you sign my mug? Thank you. Shh. Throw it on the floor. I said to Lexi, I like Nikki Cross. I just can't believe that I'm telling you, reminds me Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. Sonya Deville, obviously what happened to her was terrible. You don't wish that on anybody, and I hope she's doing okay. But you could see where that storyline was going even before that psycho that showed up at her house. That storyline, it felt like without Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose has nothing. What has Mandy Rose done? What has she done? She's teamed up a little bit with Dana Brooke, but for the most part, they've done nothing with Mandy Rose. Ever since the Sonya Deville departure, Mandy Rose, and she is improved a lot. There are some people that WWE relies on a storyline too much, and then they become almost damaged goods, and it's very, very hard to repair that. So, anyway. Oh, you all like that? Seriously, with the mug? I wouldn't really do that. I'm not that much of a dick. I would do it to, like, maybe, like, some people I don't like. You know, like, I maybe buy their merchandise, and if I could, you know, maybe get away with it without, you know, getting in trouble online, you know, I would burn it live on the air, you know? Seriously. Oh, look! Look! Nikki! The wrong Nikki, though. The wrong Nikki. Nikki! 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 I don't like Nikki. Nothing personal. But, hey, I'm not that stupid to melt an autographed signed card. Limited one of 10. So, anyway. Charlie Caruso, she interviews Nia Jax about Charlotte. Oh, they're going to win the tag belts back? Yeah, I don't think so. You're going to be in the Royal Rumble and win the Royal Rumble? Yeah, I don't think so. Charlie Caruso interviewing Drew McIntyre about next week. Charlie Caruso interviewing Angel Garza. By the way, did you see Angel Garza walking in the back because this is Tropicana Field, home of the Tampa Bay Rays? Angel Garza looks at a Matt Garza picture. For those that aren't into baseball, that Matt Garza photo that he's seen in the background, I believe this is about 10 years ago. Matt Garza was a pitcher on the Tampa Bay Rays. I don't know if they were still the Devil Rays at the time, but he pitched their first ever no-hitter, and I think it was against the Tigers, because I have that game on video in my collection somewhere. So that was the newspaper headline when Matt Garza pitched the no-hitter. So Garza, looking in an article about Garza. But Garza's got this rose. Suddenly Garza's not into Charlie Caruso like before, you know? I mean, instead of just giving it a rose, you see R-Truth bumps into him, and then you have all the goofs trying to get the 24-7 title. And, of course, Garza has to break the rose off camera, so when he picks it up off the floor, it's all, like, wilted and broken. He gives it to Charlie, and he's like, hey, it's the thought that counts. And Charlie Caruso looks all pissed off. So, all right, whatever. Big deal. Come on, WWE. You mean to tell me you need that much of a buildup for Eva Marie? If she's going to be in this corner, just bring it out there already. My God. You know? We see highlights of Big E winning the IC title from last Friday. And, you know, the Raw commentator's happy for Big E, which was a nice moment to see. I don't know if I really want to see Big E take on... remember we were going to burn Corbin cards? Would I get in trouble if I start burning them now? I mean, I don't know if you could get in trouble for that, because I don't think that showing fire is a good thing. I don't think we could, but, you know, I could tear it up. You know, we're not going to ever do the Corbin demolition night. Nobody really contributed cards, and it was a nice idea, but, you know, it's just, you know, we'll make paper airplanes. You know, here's another Corbin card. We'll just make paper airplanes and let them fly, you know? Here's another Corbin card, you know, but he's getting choked out over here, so we'll keep this one. So I got Corbin cards everywhere. So they have in the back Xavier Woods with Kofi, Jeff Hardy, Matt Riddle. And they're talking about names for the team, and Matt Riddle comes up with Positively Hard Bros. Jeff Hardy comes up with Rain Bros. I came up with one today. I think Riddle and Jeff Hardy should call themselves Bang Bros. Now, if you're over 18, Google it and see what that is. I'll pop if Riddle says, yo, bro, let's call ourselves Bang Bros. I think that would be banging. Bang Bros. Bang Bros. So anyway, as I said earlier, Hurt Business takes on New Day, Jeff Hardy and Riddle. Fun match. Outcome was dumb. I don't need to see every week Jeff Hardy over and over and over. Hurt Lock, Hurt Lock, Hurt Lock. The full Nelson, that's it. That's, the match is over. And here's Riddle to the rescue. If you're going to do the goddamn match, do the goddamn match already. Do it for Legends Night. You know, I got news for you. Do it like on Tuesday when there's no TV. I mean, this extra hype. I mean, does WWE realize? Now, Mish and I have been bringing up the Jeff Spicoli reference for about 6 to 8 weeks now. So it's nothing new. But does WWE realize that the more Riddle comes across as being, the more Riddle comes across as being brain dead or high or just an absolute moron, the less that we give a shit. Well, I should say it like this, the more we want to see Bobby Lashley, put him in the full Nelson. Seriously, at this point, I want Lashley to put Riddle in the full Nelson, win the match, not break it. But you got to do it like Roman Reigns. You know Roman Reigns matches now? He could fart. You hear it loud on camera. Like everything he says, you hear it loud. I want Bobby Lashley to beat Riddle at this point and then not break the Hurt Lock. And as he's like whipping around Riddle by his neck and it's about to break, I want Riddle as he's in the move and go, bro, bro. Bro, come on, bro, stop, bro, come on, bro, bro, come on, aw, bro, 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 bro. I love Riddle's character. It was at one point I hated Riddle because of what he was saying about Goldberg. I like Riddle now, but it's getting to the point that it's so stupid. I want Lashley to hurt him. I want him to be like, bro, it hurts, bro, bro, fuck you. So now the best part of Raw tonight. No, not Alexa Bliss pouring water all over her body. Notice how the makeup didn't like go anywhere. None of her makeup ran. I mean, I don't know. But that's not even the best part tonight. The best part tonight is Miz and Morrison are sitting on some of the steps in Tropicana Field. And they're all pouting and everything. Doesn't have his briefcase. And here comes Adam fucking Pierce with the briefcase. And Adam Pierce basically says that only Miz could cash in the briefcase. So as a result, since Morrison cashed in the briefcase, Miz is still the rightful owner. So he gives the briefcase back to Miz. Now, let's talk storyline for a minute. Where was Adam Rose? Did I say Adam Rose? Where was Adam Rose? Yeah. He's home. He's not wrestling anymore. Adam Pierce. Adam Pierce. Adam Pierce, where was Adam Pierce during TLC? When Morrison cashed in the briefcase, how come Adam Pierce didn't immediately come out and say, no, this is invalid? You let Miz in storyline wrestle the whole match. He shows up and is now a three-way for the ladder match, TLC, for the championship. Where's Adam Pierce during all of this? What was he doing? Was the ice cream man outside? Did he have to do poo-poo? Did he have to do number two and didn't realize that Miz, you know, was in the match until after it was over? It's so shoddy writing because you just think back at it and you're like, wait a minute. Why wasn't, you know, Brody Lee's head is kind of covered in this jacket. It's not even that hot in here, but you know what? For the rest of the show, because we're almost done, I want to take the jacket off, pay, you know, show off. I'm not wearing, I don't know if I'm going to wear this shirt again after this. I think that's it. You know, put it away, keep his little keepsake. It's just a shirt, but still, you know, means a lot. I will wear the new one that EC3 put out, the tribute shirt. I will wear that as soon as I get it. But, oh, no, we'll get to Charlotte and Nia in a moment. I didn't forget about that match. But anyway, Miz and Morrison, if you just look at the storyline, this is the pay-per-view and Adam Pearce is not there. the commentators don't say, I mean, this is just horrible that Miz is involved in that entire match. And if you think about it in story, let's think about it in storyline. After Adam Pearce gave the briefcase back to Miz, saying that Miz didn't cash in, Morrison gave the briefcase. So as a result, Miz still has the briefcase. AJ Styles in storyline should immediately go to Adam Pearce and say, so Miz should have never been in the match, so I should get a rematch against Drew McIntyre. Right? Just horrible. But I like Miz and Morrison, so they're trolling fans. Fans are pissed off tonight because that storyline continues. This is an example of what I said about what WWE does sometimes with these referees. They do a bullshit finish, and it looks like a referee botch on TV. And then they try to use that in a storyline, and then you look back on, you realize, wow, WWE could not come up with a clean finish to this match. So they had a referee botch on purpose so they could blame it on the referee. My bad. And then that's it. That is, I don't want to say the word, but that is like a pussy-ass cheap way to get out of a finish of a match. In storyline, AJ Styles should immediately demand a rematch. Miz should have never been in the match. Why is he getting his briefcase back? AJ Styles got screwed. Exactly, psycho. Should get a rematch. Common sense? Probably won't get it. Or you know what? Maybe that circulates online. Maybe there's some smart people online that start throwing that around as well. And then WWE will have to sort of address it somewhere, or AJ Styles kinds of like mentions it but doesn't mention it in passing, you know, do one of those goofy things. But WWE, it's just like, really, that's, you know what, instead of using pussy, because that's kind of a strong word, lazy. Lazy is the better word. That is just lazy, lazy, lazy ass writing. It's as lazy as, let's do a street fight. Yeah, but we want to make it that, you know, Drew McIntyre was going to get the win with his claymore. And then Sheamus tags himself in and he wants to do the bro kick. But Keith Lee tags himself in and does the spirit bomb. And that causes friction between Sheamus and Keith Lee. And that also causes friction between Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. And then somebody in creative has to say, yeah, but it's a street fight. There are no tags. I'll do it anyway. Much love, Neil Ray. Much love. Charlotte versus Nia Jax. I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to say it. As much as you don't like Nia Jax for some of the injuries she's been blamed for in the past to other wrestlers, you have to admit, if you're fair, you have to admit Nia Jax has improved substantially in the ring. Yes, some of these moves sometimes where she just like runs out of the ring, that match from a couple of weeks ago, or she just runs into the ring post because the other person's timing was not all that great. That looks kind of bad, but you got to blame that on the opponent more than anything else. Because somebody is supposed to pull the rope down or move out of the way or do this. And when they do it too early, it looks like Nia Jax was just like, you know what? Let me run into that pole over there. And she just runs full force into it. But overall, Nia Jax has definitely improved. Not on the level of others, obviously, but she's definitely improved. She had a decent match with Charlotte, but the finish was bullshit. Nia Jax doesn't come out with Shayna Baszler, but Shayna Baszler comes out with Nia Jax. Well, I guess because Asuka was with Charlotte, blah, 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 blah. Shayna Baszler, after Charlotte looks like she may get the win with the figure eight, Shayna Baszler locks the Kirifuda clutch on Charlotte, so they call the bell. Lazy, in my opinion, lazy. Much love, everybody. Joseph Acevedo, the fourth. Not the third, not the fifth, but the fourth. Much love, my friend. By the way, all of you out there, if you're enjoying tonight's episode, I appreciate it if you gave it a like, a thumbs up. That tells YouTube that you like it, you recommend it to others out there. So, and definitely post in the comment section. If you noticed, started about 2 weeks ago, I am trying to respond to everybody's comments. So definitely, you know, speak out how you feel about certain things, you know, whether it's Brody Lee or WWE's handling or Raw, whatever you want to talk about. So, so the finish of Raw tonight, basically, this is what happens. For WWE standards, you know Alexa Bliss is not going to wrestle Randy Orton. So there was not going to be a match tonight. But instead, Alexa Bliss calls Randy Orton out to the ring. Alexa Bliss has a itty-bitty little, like, can you imagine if you ran out of gas and you opened up your trunk and the only thing you had for gasoline is that? I don't even think you could, like, fill up a lawnmower with that. It was like a tiny little, they got these little tiny itty bitty little gasoline things. She's got this gasoline thing and she tells Randy Orton she wants Randy Orton to do to her what he did to the Fiend. Now, I like Alexa Bliss in this role, but last week she's giggling, making jokes. Oh, you know, what's the Fiend's favorite food? Barbecue. The Fiend must be at the beach getting fried. And then today, she's like bipolar. You know, I'm sorry for people that get offended when I say that. Like, different personality. Whining and crying. Burn me alive, Randy. Burn me alive. She makes a trail from Randy to her on the floor with the water. Nothing. Randy doesn't give in. She makes a circle. Makes a circle. Nothing. Gives Randy the tank, the itty-bitty little tank. Nothing. So Alexa Bliss takes the gasoline, the water, and she dumps it all over herself. Now, if you want to do storyline and you want to show me a set of balls, Randy, if you're not going to do it, then I'm going to do it. All right, Lexi, here you go. Good, do it. It was so awful. This is like, I can't believe I'm saying this. This is worse than WCW Thunder crap. I mean, I don't even care about the online dope. These are people just looking for Twitter attention. So you could have goofs out there that can say, oh my God, can you imagine the kids seeing Alexa Bliss, the Firefly Funhouse, the puppet, she's pouring gasoline all over herself. First of all, little kids should not be up at 11 o'clock at night, in my opinion. But especially after the Fiend was set on fire. All right, kids, time for bed. Sorry, you can't watch it. That's it. Now, if my parents did that to me, I'd say, okay, good night, Ma. And first thing I would do is put it on the TV. You take something away from me, I want it more. I want it more. So Alexa Bliss dumps it all over her. And Randy Orton with this god-awful promo. I could do it. I damn well do it. I would want to hurt you. And I definitely want to hurt you. But because you want me to hurt you, I'm not going to hurt you. But that makes no sense. Because what he should have said, in my opinion, is by not doing it, he's tormenting her. He's not taking her out of her misery. Alexa, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let you suffer. I'm not going to give you the same fate that the Fiend had. I'm going to let you suffer by me not doing something to you. And then the lights go off. And the lights come back on. And it's almost like part one of a goofy movie in a movie theater where you think the person, the evil person died, and then you're about to go leave and go home, and then the lights come back on and you see the evil person on the camera like this. And they go off the fucking air. This was stupid. It's not dark. It's stupid. This is not, trust me, this is not what the idea of people saying on USA Network wants dark is on. They want good, decent ratings. But they're not going to tell WWE what to say or do. There's all these rights groups out there and activists and all this other stuff. You start doing some over-the-top sexual stuff, you know, that's okay for Temptation Island because Temptation Island is intended for an older audience. When you have all this family entertainment and all these kids and this and that, you're not going to start doing things where all these groups are going to start getting an outrage and stuff like that just so Vince can say, this is great TV. That's not how it works. WWE right now, their worth in the stock market, I think it's $3.5 billion. $3.5 billion. You think they're going to mess with that because we want to see Alexa Bliss set on fire? It was just stupid. It was stupid. They're doing these teasers of The Fiend returning to basically get people to forget that they did that god-awful stupid storyline about something being set on fire. Just like the eyeball and just like everything else. That's how they went off the air. FD Gaggiano, I don't even think hot lesbian action would even be a big deal now. The only way it would be a big deal is because some of the participants involved are people that some of you are attracted to, and it's like a fantasy. It, you know, when Eric Bischoff just brought out two random women with hot lesbian action, you know, you would have been like, eh, you know what? I could go on whatever adult site there was at that time. You know, Bang Bus. You know, hey, you know, all right, this is sexy on Raw, but you know what? I could go on Bang Bus and I could actually see them without clothes on doing the same thing. So if it's somebody in the ring that you kind of have a little fantasy about, that's different. But I don't even think that would be a big deal. So anyway, that was your episode of Raw. It had its ups, a lot of downs. I didn't like the way it went off the air. But yeah, Bang Bus. Bang Bus goes back a long way. Bang Bus. So anyway, I'm going to jet out of here because we're approaching the 2-hour mark. I have no problem with the fact that we spent a little less than half the show paying a little tribute to Brody Lee. The amount of love and appreciation amongst friends, wrestlers, fans, just it's been so overwhelming, it deserved it, and it was appropriate. And it, you don't put time constraints on that. Jim Z says, breaking news, USA Network requested more stupid programming from WWE. Yeah. So, by the way, oh no, I don't have it queued up. I have to play a funny sound effect on Wednesday. But everyone, I hope you enjoy Wednesday's AEW Brody Lee tribute show. I hope you enjoy NXT. Don't forget they have the year-end awards. Friday, last Wednesday, I did a preview of the awards. A couple of names I totally botched, if you remember. We were going to do some predictions tonight, Mish and I, but obviously the show changed because he wasn't going to be on. But Mish will be back with me next Monday for Breakfast Soup Raw. And I'll be back here on Wednesday for Wednesday Night Dynamite. And then I will give you all the official details about Thursday. As of right now, Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern to 1 a.m. Eastern. Maybe we finish a few minutes later, a few minutes earlier, not putting a time constraint on it. If anything drastically changes in my neck of the woods where the show doesn't happen, I'll let you all know. But right now it's about 95% definite. And yeah, I hope you could join me. So, and don't forget Friday, we have January 1st. Friday will be officially 2021. And yes, I will be here on January 1st for New Year's to cover SmackDown and whatever else goes down. And we'll go from there. So everyone, much love as always. I thank you for the support. I hope I did right for Brody Lee today. I didn't want to go through career retrospect and cover this and cover that. I wanted to just talk about emotion and talk about, you know, just how this could affect everybody's lives and learn something by it and just appreciate, you know, the memories and just as a whole. But much love, everybody. I'm out of here. I'm going to disconnect right at the 2-hour mark. So much love. I catch you all again on Wednesday after NXT and AEW. Be well, everyone. Take care. Brody Lee, Danny Hodge, rest in peace.